And welcome to HTK Church, Holy Trinity Commander, this morning for our live streaming service. As I look around at the congregation this morning, there's not too many of us, but I'm reminded of that joke on Facebook that you might have seen where the vicar's sitting at the table and he's on the phone and he says, look, the best I can do on Christmas Eve is three people together in the ninth row. And it's a bit like that, isn't it, at the moment? But you're here, we're here, and the Lord's here. And so we're going to worship together. I'm standing in, I'm Kevin Lewis, standing in for Father Steve this morning, who's got a bit of a cold, and to make sure that he practices what he preaches, he's staying home and not bringing any colds or anything like that to the congregation. So shall we begin our worship this morning? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, all-powerful, true and incomparable, present in all things, yet limited by none, untouched by place, unaged by time, unhurried by the years, undeceived by words, not subject to birth, nor in need of protection. You are above all change. You are by nature immutable, living in light that none can approach. Invisible, yet you make yourself known to me, and you are found by all who seek you with their whole heart. You are the God of Israel, and all who hope in Christ. You are our God, and we adore you. Amen. Our first hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. invite you now to join us in our prayer of confession and reception of forgiveness. Let us pray. It is not easy being a Christian in this irreligious era, but that is no excuse for our lapses into the evil of the world. Now is the time for confession. Let us pray. Regretfully but sincerely loving God, we confess that we don't often live in the style of Jesus. Too readily we adjust to the values and attitudes of the rest of the community. Sometimes there is nothing distinctive or attractive about us. Regretfully loving God, we confess that we do not make the most of our faith. In the times we have to ourselves in this busy life, we do not make space for reflection and prayer. We leave you at the edges instead of embracing you at the centre of our days. Regretfully loving God, we confess that we have looked for you in remarkable people and spectacular events. Yet we have ignored you in the ordinary circumstances, in ordinary friends and neighbours, and in ordinary church members. Regretfully loving God, we confess that we have not been very fair to ourselves. We have hidden our gifts behind false modesty, withheld strengths lest others expect a lot from us, and been too afraid that our faith may be mocked if expressed openly. Regretfully loving God, we unfold our lives before you. Please forgive and expunge the things that are sloppy, unloving or rotten. Please mend the things that are torn or distorted or fractured. Please rehabilitate that soul image of yourself that exists in each of us, and give us the desire and the will and the strength to make a success of living by faith in this new week. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, we pray, Amen. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, accept God's saving love, putting your sins and mistakes behind you and letting go of regrets and fears. Now face the future with measured optimism of those who know they are destined to ultimate victory. By saving love, you are released. You are at liberty. Amen. Would you please be seated for our children's story, our kids' chat. And Glenda's coming to share that with us this morning. Thank you, Glenda.
Good morning on this rather wet and rainy day. I need to go home and get my washing off the line. I came to church this morning by going down Sugarbag Road and then going down Nicklin Way. But you know, there's a couple of other ways I could have come. I could have gone through Aura and then down Kiwanilink Way and I would still have got here. Or I could have gone down Caloundra Road to the big Caloundra roundabout and up Nicklin Way and I would have still got here. And there's probably a couple of other ways I could have come as well. So, you know, I could have chosen a number of ways to come, but it still would have had the same result at the end. I still would have got here. Maybe a bit slower. Maybe I could have taken a more scenic route. You know, sometimes our GPS takes us the wrong way and we get a little bit lost, or we get very lost and we end up on that dirt road and we don't know where we're going. And sometimes we get so lost that we need to be rescued. When you get up in the morning, every day, you have to make a huge decision. You have to make a decision which way you're going to go that day. Are you going to take the path of righteousness, or are you going to take the path of sin? Are you going to take God's pathway, or are you going to take the world's pathway? Are you going to do the right thing, God's thing, or are you going to let other people tell you what to do? Social media, your friends, the television, other people tell you what to do. Sometimes we do make the wrong decision and we get a bit lost. Sometimes we make the wrong decision every day and we get really, really lost in the way we live our lives. And that's why it's really great that there is a rescue for us, that God sent his son, Jesus, so that we could be rescued. And we walk with the Holy Spirit every day to guide us and to help us make those decisions. So if you get up today and you make the wrong decision, remember that you can be rescued. Remember that the Holy Spirit is there for you to bring you back onto the right path. And take a moment to think about the decisions that you make in every day that you live. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you give us free will to make decisions. But we thank you more that you have a pathway for us and that you have the Holy Spirit with us to guide us on that right pathway. Help us to listen for his voice and to follow him. Amen.
Thank you, Glenda, for that great story for our young people. And now we've got a lovely song coming up, Awesome God. Awesome God. Let's stand and sing.
Just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Isn't that a beautiful song? We've now got our prayer of the day, our colleague prayer, and I invite you to all to join in with me. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide,
we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I now invite Wayne Vandenbos to come forward and share these scripture readings for today with us. Thanks, Wayne.
Our first reading is from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you so utterly forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I suffer anguish in my soul and be so grieved in my heart day and night? How long shall my eternity triumph over me? Look upon me, O Lord, my God, and answer me. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep in death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed. Lest my foes exult at my overthrow. Yet I put my trust in your unfailing love. I let my heart rejoice in your salvation. And I'll make my song to the Lord, because he deals so bountifully with me. And our second reading is from Letters to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin no longer shall be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at the time of the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 40. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please be seated? It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you this morning. I didn't know I was going to be until yesterday afternoon. But I'm here now and I'm enjoying myself immensely, and I hope you are too. I'm going to tell you a story. I like telling stories. And this is a true one. My story's always true. One Saturday night in Cairns, I was sitting in my office working on my message for the morning sermon. It was about 7:15. The phone rang. Now, if there's one thing the clergy do not like on a Saturday night, is an unknown caller ringing cold turkey, and you think, oh dear, what is this going to be? But in this particular case, it was a young man who insisted on being anonymous, telling me that there was a calico bag stuffed inside a besser block on the entrance porch of the church nearest the rectory, and that there was a very large sum of money in it. He said he wanted to return it to the people he'd taken it from and had chosen me for the job. Lucky me. He told me that he was actually a semi-lapsed Christian, that he wasn't a thief, that his action was more of a prank than an act of robbery. But how could he explain that to the police? He couldn't take the money to the police station. He couldn't take it back to where he stole it from. So he decided to ring the church, and he got me. Big sigh. Some of us have greatness thrust upon us. He was about to hang up, and when I said, hey, wait on a minute, mate. What if the money isn't there now? You'll think I've pinched it. Reluctantly, he agreed to hold the line for a short period of time while I went and looked. And sure enough, I found this bank bag where he said it was. And yes, it was full of money. Notes, coin, and checks. A lot of money. My story now jumps back to the previous night, Friday, when a young 15-year-old and an adult were working at a very popular coffee shop in Cairns. Obviously, I can't tell you which shop, and these days I can't remember anyway. When they were closing, they had counted the takings, tallied the dockets, put the notes, the coin, the checks into the bag, and then rather foolishly, they put the bag up on the counter while they closed the doors and just had a general tidy up. They only turned their backs momentarily on the bag, but it was enough for somebody to come into the shop, grab the bag, and disappear. It wasn't a planned robbery. It was obviously an opportunistic robbery. The event caused then a whole chain reaction that went on from that point. The 15-year-old was utterly devastated and panic-stricken. He broke down and cried. It was his first job. It was a very large sum of money, so what was going to happen to him? He'd spent all Saturday terrified that maybe they would think that he got some of his mates to do the job. The older adult was badly affected too. He had a medical condition. This didn't help him one little bit, and of course, their own honesty was now totally in question. The manager of the shop was understandably angry. This wasn't the first time that they'd been robbed, and the thought of spending more hours taking statements to the police was something that he did not need. And then there was the question, would the insurance cover their lapse of attention? So the scenario was one of multiple losses. The owner lost the day's takings. The manager was going to lose his time. The adult and the teenager were at risk of losing their jobs and their credibility. But there was someone else who lost something. It was the person who stole the money. He had lost his honesty, his integrity, and his honour the moment he picked up that bag. But on Saturday, he was overcome with remorse for what he'd done. He wanted to put it back. He'd never robbed anybody of anything before. It was a stupid, spur-of-the-moment prank, but it couldn't be undone. So Saturday was a very bad day for him too. Now, have you ever noticed that putting something back can be more difficult than taking it in the first place? Especially if you don't want to be seen doing it. And our repentant thief was very keen to do it anonymously. And that's how I came to get the phone call. He told me the name of the shop from which it had been stolen, and the cash register printouts confirmed that. So I rang the manager, who was at my office door within 10 minutes, and told me the story of what had happened on the Friday night, and of the utterly miserable day that everybody at the shop had spent. He collected his missing takings, thanked me profusely. The man and the boy couldn't believe their good fortune. They were now completely vindicated. The police had not been notified, don't know why, and the owner wanted to keep it that way. Now, when you think about it, there is quite a paradox surrounding this whole calico bag. The people who had owned it and lost it, that is the shop owner and the manager and the boy, didn't know where it was, and so to them the money was lost. Irretrievably, presumably. But to the person who'd taken it, the thief, who had acted on impulse rather than a premeditated plan, he lost something too. He lost his integrity, because he really wasn't a thief. Now, I'm not indulging in the kind of double talk that enables some people to sell refrigerators to Eskimos. I'm actually leading us back to today's letter to the Romans. Paul said, let me repeat, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. The prankster, the would-be thief, came to his senses. He remembered his Sunday school lessons, his confirmation classes, and I presume he must have been a member of the parish in his earlier days. His conscience hit him between the eyes like a bit of spiritual 4x4, and he was convicted of his stupid and dangerous wrongdoing. So when he suddenly remembered his church days, the realization struck him that he belonged to Jesus after all. He wanted to renew that relationship that he'd lost. He wanted to be in God's grace again. He wanted to be that instrument of God's righteousness. He didn't want to begin a life of crime. My repentant thief, to quote that scripture, turned from becoming a slave to sin to becoming an instrument of righteousness and grace. He took that step when he picked up the phone and dialed my number that Saturday night. Now, I still don't know who he was, but Jesus knows. The Holy Spirit knows. That night he made a decision that was the turning point away from a slippery slope into disaster to a renewed relationship with Jesus. And I hope and pray that he continued on that journey. You and I don't need to make a phone call, brothers and sisters. We have what? We have prayer. And if you're like me, you probably made that kind of a prayer call more than once in your life. And I leave you with these thoughts. Isn't the Lord's forgiveness and grace a marvellous thing? Amen. Amen. Shall we say together? I believe in God of Abraham and Jesus, of sinner and saint, doubter and believer. I believe in God who does not require costly offerings, but love, loyalty, and truth.
I believe in God, who loves our dear ones better than we can ever love him, yet asks us to put them second so that we may better love them. I believe in the God of love, mercy and peace, whom to serve is perfect freedom. I believe that what I believe today is only a fraction of the glory that is to come. Amen. And now I invite Janet to come forward and lead us in the prayers. Would you please take a seat?
Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you are a God of mercy, who we can ask and ask and ask, who we can turn to over and over again. Thank you that you don't stop loving us when we do things that are against your will. Thank you that you forgive us when we turn back to you. Help us always to choose your way. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that we may do the things that please you. We pray today for this world of yours that you love so much, for people all around the world, for governments and rulers who seek to bring peace and justice into the world. We pray for all of those who are suffering as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. We ask that your comfort and peace and grace may surround them, blessing them wherever they are and whatever they're doing. We thank you for your servants throughout the world, for priests and ministers, wherever they are. Thank you that they teach us your ways, that they remind us through your Holy Spirit of the things that we should do to please you. We thank you today especially for Father Kevin and ask your blessing on him and on Father Steve today as he recovers. Thank you for ministers everywhere who are taking steps around the world to bring people back into the church. Thank you for all the hard work that they're doing to make things safe for us to gather again as family in your house, Lord. We pray for all those who are sick and in need of your healing at this time. We thank you for doctors and nurses and all the hospital personnel who are making things safe for us in this COVID-19 world. We ask your blessing on them and your peace and comfort and your presence with all those who are sad and sick and in need. Give them a firm assurance that you will never let them go, that you are always there with them, loving them, forgiving them. I pray for this family here at HTK. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and joy which they bring. Help this HTK family of yours, Lord, to spread your love into the community that we are part of, into our schools, into our workplaces, into our shopping centres. Lord, we just ask you that we may be channels of your love and your word in this place where we are. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." One of the delightful things that I'm doing now is to share with you our birthday greetings.
And our birthday people today are Barbie Reed, Myrna Beale, Justin Lightbody, and Heather Vandenbos. Heather's amongst our congregation this morning. Let's give them all of a clap. We won't ask them how old or how young they are. There's some announcements now. The Man Cave is on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And if you're interested in coming to that, you need to book in with Alan Reynolds or Gary Campbell. Are there any other announcements? No, okay. I shall have pleasure in sharing a blessing with you. May God stir up within you the gift of his Spirit, that you may confess Jesus Christ as Lord and proclaim the joy of the everlasting gospel wherever you may be. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. And now we have a song, and it's Forever Rain.
Nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. Yeah. You are peace when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever rain. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence.
Nothing compares to your
song. Let us go forth to walk in God's light. We will show others the way to God's heart. Let us go forth to bring hope and healing to the world with a gift as simple as a cup of water and as complex as our lives. We will join Jesus in serving those around us. Let us go forth to gather up the little ones of our communities into our homes and hearts. We are no longer strangers, but God's family. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.